Who knows more about Munster rugby, me or you, Quinny?
Everyone has an opinion, don't they? Some of the opinions are waffle, but I'd like to think I know a lot.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
Now you're welcome back. We're talking GAA. Congress debated Plan B for an hour and 15 minutes. In the end, Plan B did win a majority, 50.6% of the votes at Congress, 85 votes to 83. So not insignificant by any means in terms of support, but still well shy of the required 60% to pass the motion. To discuss, we're joined by Colm Keyes of the Irish Independent and Mickey Quinn, who is a Longford footballer as well. Gents, thanks very much for giving us your time. Colm, your sense of the hour and 15 minutes of debate and how special Congress went on the whole?
I thought there was 22 speakers, Joe, and I just felt marginally from listening to the debate that those in opposition to Proposal B were slightly more passionate than those for it. If you look at the breakdown of the counties that spoke, 8 from Ulster spoke against, and the one county that supported it in Ulster, Down, stayed silent. If you move to Leinster, taking out John Horne, who proposed it, only Michael Deignan, the Offaly chair, spoke. So that's 1 from 12 counties. Dublin, largest county and the standard bearers in football for the last decade, remained silent. And there's no confirmation as to what way they voted or what way they were thinking. So if you consider, and I would have thought, a lot of Leinster counties have most to gain from this. I would have felt that Leinster counties, and to a degree Munster counties obviously too, would have most to gain. And yet the only delegate that spoke was Offaly's Michael Deignan. Those two things surprised me. But I felt the passion for retaining an Ulster championship came across very, very strongly by those delegates from Ulster who spoke. And obviously, you'd have to credit the contributions of some of those who did speak in favour, to the Sligo chairman, Sean Carroll, Declan Bowen from Leitrim, Kevin O'Donoghue from Cork as well, Sean Kelly. They spoke well, but passionate, I have to say, to me, being there, it struck me that those who spoke for were that bit more fervent to keep it in place, notwithstanding that the merits of the argument, I felt, were probably better towards Proposal B, but those that wanted to keep it sounded really strong to me on it. And I have to say, I came away thinking that if this is to pass, if this is to get to 60% and over, it will take a lot of shifting. There's a lot of shifting in that 10%, but I think it starts with those counties, and obviously they haven't made it known, but those counties that might be on the margin. I think on balance, Kerry probably voted against it, if you're to judge by the chair down there, Tim Murphy's comments at Congress. But you'd have to go to Kerry. Whoever's picking up the baton now must go to those counties that are somewhere in between and say, well, what tweaks do you have in mind? What gets this over the line?
Yeah.
And that's really where I think it has to start. You got to go to those counties. You can be quite sure that if you want Proposal B or even a variation of it, none of those Ulster counties that oppose it are really going to support it, unless the Ulster Championship or the Provincial Championships are going to be the basis. So to get to 60%, you must go to those counties that are in the middle. And look, I'm not sure who exactly. There's certainly a lot of speculation that Dublin didn't vote for this, despite the fact that John Costello, I can't say, they haven't confirmed it, but there was a suspicion around Congress that they didn't. And John Costello was part of the task force. You got to go to them. If indeed that they didn't, they opposed it, Kerry and others like that, and say, well, what do you think this needs to get it over the line?
Yeah. So, Colm, to expand on that for a second then, so all the Ulster counties bar Down said no thanks, and we can understand why. They quite like their provincial championship and it's working okay. All the provincial council said no way, which is understandable, if not entirely admirable, but it's understandable because they would effectively be handing over their power. And then the Division 1 teams, it emerges, if we take it that maybe Dublin certainly didn't say anything and there's a suspicion they may have voted against this. The Division 1 teams did not like this. And I guess James Horan talked about this in the build-up to Special Congress, where he was saying, well, look, we're not so sure about us toiling away in the Division 1 qualification stage and you know, if we were to finish outside the qualification spots, that's our All-Ireland series done. And yet there's a team from Division 4 getting through. We're not, kind of not so sure about the fairness of that. That sentiment, we can assume, is there because Mayo against it, Galway against it, Kerry had a free vote, but we're sensing a no. We're sensing a no from Dublin, obviously a no from Tyrone. So that's all four of the semi-finalists. So this Division 1 hesitation or sense of, well, hang on, this is unfair, allied to Ulster saying no. That sounds like, and I know there is no like overarching reason for any of this, but it sounds like Division 1 hesitation allied to Ulster went a long way towards knocking this vote.
Yeah, I would say they're the two aspects of it. Obviously, there are other aspects. I did hear that Dublin may have had a scheduling issue, that the games were coming thick and fast between a Leinster final and then straight into a league. But again, Joe, I don't know, because Dublin obviously have kept their cards close to their chest on this. So we actually don't know. But again, speculation. But I would think that those counties, to see what is it that held up their vote most and what issues could be addressed. I would suspect that Ulster's red line is meaningful provincial championships to provide some gateway, and that's not going to change. I think there's a bit of a rock and a hard place here in between, and that to get those votes, it is going to have to be a little bit different. But if it's only a matter of tweaking, let's say, to pivot into a 1A and 1B where the top four teams go through, well, that takes away the issue over the sixth team, which was an issue for all the Division 1 teams, obviously, as they are at the present moment.
Yeah.
But if you go 1A, that's putting the top 16 into two groups, you know, four Division 1 as they currently are, four Division 2. That takes that away. And then no team that finishes fifth or sixth can blame the system, because they've had an equal opportunity here. Yeah. And you replicate that with 2A and 2B as well. And that's what worked until 2007. And I would have felt at the time it was a very good competition. It helped to, you know, keep the standards pretty close together. After a while, if you're playing the top teams, if you're a Division 2 team and you're playing three or four Division 1 teams on a consistent basis, you're going to improve over a period of time. That's where I think this should be going to.
Mickey Quinn is a 31-year-old Longford footballer, prime of your career. Mickey, what was your reaction on Saturday when the news came through?
Probably wasn't surprised that it didn't get over the line, but it was disappointing. But it's something that probably came from it, from listening to all the different speakers on both sides, that, you know, that there is an appetite there for change, and that it seems to have an awful lot more momentum now than it had in the past. You know, like the Super 8s came in, and you know, you go back to 2018 when that fixtures task force was put together. You know, 3 years down the line, the worry was that, you know, this didn't get through a Congress and it's going to be another 3, maybe 4 years before you get back to that stage again. And that was the initial reaction. But from hearing Liam McCarthy's comments afterwards, it was positive that, you know, that it's back on the table in February, hopefully. And it's important that things are moved quickly, that it's not reinventing the wheel now at this stage. And for the last number of years, there's been an awful lot of good work put into these committees by good people. And it might take small little tweaks or changes here, but it's not starting from scratch again. So a lot of the work has been done and hard graft has been done there by those people, hopefully that it can come to fruition sooner rather than later.
And say it doesn't for a second, because I'm going to chat about that with Colm in a moment. Like Michael Deignan, for instance, just to counter your optimism, he said that a lot of people spoke against this because there hasn't been enough debate. Well, there's been a lot of debate. It's been going on for 2 years, so I don't take that on board. People are protecting their own interests. And Podge Collins, for instance, said, what's worrying me is that this fixtures task force has been put in place by the GAA. They spent 2 years looking at this. And we saw at the weekend the levels of support there were for the two best proposals that they could come up with. I'm not optimistic for change, and I'm not too optimistic about what's coming down the line. I won't be holding my breath. So I take your optimism. There's a lot of GA people who think that when everybody's saying, oh, we need change, that there's, I don't know, there's a disingenuous tint to that. That actually, while they say and they agree we need change, but actually they've no intention of voting for change, and they're never going to have to reveal what way they voted, such as the way the Congress works. So if it stays as it is, Mickey, where does that leave you as a Longford footballer?
Yeah, it's, look, it, probably for me, I'd be, you try and take it from your own point of view, a personal side of things, and from your, for yourself, and then probably for maybe the whole of Longford, the football team, and then probably by being involved in the GPA, you're looking at it as a whole across the board. But for me personally, you know, something like that, you're kind of thinking, right, if it came in, I'm kind of thinking to myself there, we have a chance for possibly two, three titles there that might be a bit more achievable than what it is in the current system. And that as a result of that change, that I'd be willing to, I hope to hang on and give it a crack for 2-3 years. Whereas if you go back to the old system now again, it's going to be very hard to motivate probably myself, but motivate others, other players in other counties and our own to offer that commitment and give up their times. Like, I think something that COVID has taught us is that there's more to life than football. Mm. And there's almost a balance between that, the amount of time that players give up and what they're getting out of it. And for me personally, I've got lots of football and I know lots of people that wouldn't feel the same way. But I think that's something that, because of the structure at the moment, I think not just your over 30s, your mid 20s, your guys that have played in under 20 county, for their county team, that they're going to reconsider things going forward. And if that carrot of winning something and a different structure isn't there, it's going to be a lot less appealing.
Okay, so in effect, you're saying this shortens my career. I might hang around for a year, 18 months as things stand, if that's how they stay. If the change was to come in and more games in the night of the summer, well, I'll play on as long as I can play on and the body allows. So that could be a difference of 3, 4, 5 years potentially.
I think so. And I don't think, kind of when I say that, I try and think that, is that just me or is that going to be a case for other players? And I'd imagine players in similar positions would be thinking similarly. So, yeah.
Because you won Division 4, Longford won Division 4 in 2011 and Division 3 in 2012. You imagine if they were in the Plan B summer, height of summer, all these matches, crowds coming, a sense of momentum, and then you get your big day out against one of the big boys and you give it a lash. And the thing is, unlike, say, in the current format where a Division 4 side might be out of form and be thrown against Dublin and it's an annihilation, at least she'd go in with a sense of confidence and momentum and be able maybe to cause a bit of an upset, and you would have deserved your chance against the big boys. But like those summers, those Division 4 and Division 3 wins would be amazing summers in Longford, and you'd have great games and then get your shot. Whereas, I don't know, I mean, what's there to look forward to realistically next summer?
Yeah, like probably for us, and it's probably something that kind of crept by, and with COVID, like one in a Burn Cup, it's only my second trophy ever winning wearing a Longford jersey. And albeit other counties mightn't be fully using it as a pre-season competition, but for us, it was an opportunity that it was a cup that we could win, and we went for it. And, you know, that's something that the idea in that, as you said, in the middle of summer, rather than on a wet pitch in the middle of February, that you have the chance there to have your own supporters and create a buzz around the county. Because I don't think GAA is where it used to be in rural counties, and that it, on the club scene definitely, but from an inter-county scene, it kind of it drifts to the background very quickly, because, you know, it comes and goes by very quickly. Mm. You're National League and then you're into maybe two championship games. The most championship games I played in 1 year was in 2012, where we had a draw in Leinster against Wexford, played them again, and then a run in the qualifiers too. So those five games, and you almost felt like it was twice as long the season getting those five games, yeah, in comparison to maybe two or three. And I think over 10 years I've played 31 championship games, so you're just averaging three championship games a year. And I think that's what halters progression and development in the likes of Longford and other counties, that your season is cut short very quickly, and you know, the hope by a different structure to try and progress and have continuous progression and improvement from year to year. I think that's where probably people get caught up in looking at a structure or a system like this in 1 year cycles. You kind of need to think maybe 3, 4, 5 year cycles, where you might end up in 2 years or 3 years in a system like this, and does it allow for progression or regression?
So, Colm, Larry McCarty said, well, we're very keen come February at Congress to have another motion on the table, a motion with some tweaks. It's worth stating that at Congress there'll be over 300 delegates as opposed to, I think it's the 180 or so at special Congress. So that's it's more people to convince and more people with problems, I'm sure, with whatever tweaks are made. And I suppose that gets to the nub of the worry here that somebody like Mickey and lots of players around the country would have. When delegates come out and say, we're agreed, change has to happen. The cynic in you would think, well, when we go away and we tweak Plan B and we make some tweaks, there'll be more problems, or other people will come up with new problems. And really, this thing is just not going to happen. I don't know how hopeful you would be of something happening in February.
No, I don't think I would be hopeful for something happening in February, because February's not far away to start with. I think it'll probably take the next Central Council meeting to approve a new committee. And I think the committee lead on that will have to be very, very strong to be able to pull all the strands together on this. If you're using the template of Proposal B and you are making a few tweaks and you think the consensus around those counties who may not have voted for it, if you think the consensus there is, yeah, that'll work, then February is a realistic target. Larry McCarty, I thought Tom Parsons was GPA chief executive, was more optimistic about February than perhaps Larry McCarty was. There wouldn't be anything to stop another special Congress this time next year, but it would be quite a body of work to just pull it together and have it ready, say, for the end of January, because this needs to be obviously debated again and teased out. And if some delegates in the room are saying, well, it was all too quick after 2.5 years, because if you remember, the task force came together in June 2019, you know, if it's been there for 2.5 years and it's been discussed and debated and everything else, and still I didn't feel there was fully a grasp of all the detail in it, when you still have some delegates reckoning that those league championship games aren't actually championship games. Well, of course they are. That's the championship. That's the lead into the championship. And there was a lot of that these are only league games and nobody will get to play, and not only a few teams will get to play a knockout championship. But that is the way in Champions League and World Cup and other sports as well. And maybe it's, you know, maybe there's a unique element to the GAA that a lot of delegates will want to keep. But I wouldn't be hugely optimistic that this will be resolved by February. And even the short term, I think, given that it's almost a 50-50 split, and you're thinking there's still a block there, there's still a strong block there that will protect the provinces in that while. And Brian McAvoy, the Ulster Secretary, obviously said that the provincial championships must maintain a link. That's what I took from it. To get this, any proposal over the line, it will need that link. I'm not sure what that is, whether the provincial champions, whether there's a mixture between league and champion and provincial champions will get a place in the All-Ireland playoffs. That could be something, but it would need to be very creative and obviously fair and balanced. And to tick all the boxes is just not going to be easy here. Once the fundamental principle of the provincial championships remaining as the centrepiece of the summer and the main gateway through to the All-Ireland playoffs, once that's there, it's going to be very, very difficult to get consensus on this.
No, you're scrambling from that point, aren't you? You're getting very creative and it's very...
really are. And you know, I've seen some of the proposals and some of the suggestions since that have, you know, been floated by some of my colleagues, and you're looking and say, yeah, that's pretty good. And then, you know, there's flaws in them all. You know, you can pick holes in every one of them. No two championship proposals are the same. They're like snowflakes. They're just different. Everything differs here.
Isn't that the worry in terms of getting anything across the line? That there will be baked in flaws, especially if the provinces have to be involved, and therefore that cohort who don't want change will always have something of an argument or some genuine quibble that they can throw up. And if they are being disingenuous when they say they want change, they'll always have something they can pull out of their back pocket that's a problem with whatever proposal is put forward. And that's the worry.
And if the provincial championships are retained in the way that we think they might, then the 50.6% are likely to vote against that. So, you know, they're likely not to support that change. So it will need real consensus building. I think Kerry and Dublin must be on board for this as the main counties, the most successful counties, and two of those who we think opposed. I think they have a big role to play in where this goes next.
Mickey, I kind of thought there was like a European Super League quality to the Division One teams here. You know, the likes of Mayo voting no, the likes of Galway voting no, Kerry not taking a stance, Dublin not taking a stance. Like, there's almost a degree here whereby, well, we'll go along with this league business as part of the championship. Once we're guaranteed we all make the knockout stages, therefore making the whole thing pointless and undermining the whole idea. Like, there has to be some bit of jeopardy, some bit of risk. If you lose four or five of your matches, you can't expect to qualify for the next round. And yet here they are. So, you know that's what we're surmising, that they don't like this aspect that they may not make the knockout stages. They almost want to guarantee. I don't know. That really bothers me, I have to say. Like, the whole thing is about competition and about going out there and playing other teams and winning matches and earning your right to make the next stages of the competition. And they don't seem to want to know about that. That, for me, that's deeply frustrating. It goes against the whole ethos of what the thing is supposed to be about.
I think so. And I think that's probably what probably would frustrate me too, that if the shoe was on the other foot and it was benefiting them, it might be a different story. But I think to look at the overall system that, and look at your counties probably from 16 to the 32 position in the country, how it could benefit them rather than maybe taking the top cohort, and how is it going to benefit us? Almost like, as you said, the Super League and probably the silence with the Super League clubs when it came out, and probably to a sense with counties in a similar situation, that I think you have to have huge credit or hold the hand up for the likes of Michael Deignan, who stood up and spoke so passionately about it, that, you know, there wasn't that fear of maybe going against the grain for what he believed is right as a whole for his county and the GAA, whereas rather than just looking at it from your own individual and your individual purpose. So I think that's something, and Colm's mentioned, and he's right, that you have to have the big teams backing whatever proposal is there. But I suppose the reason for the big teams maybe not backing it is that they're benefiting in some shape or form with the structure that's there. And, you know, there's no point in saying it any other way. The certain championships or provincial championships have an easier run than others. And, you know, that's something that maybe some counties aren't willing to give up.
Well, I mean, it's obvious you were talking about. Mayo are coasting through. Galway have a better chance of getting through. Kerry are coasting through. Dublin are coasting through. That's the reality.
You know, on that point, Joe, and Kevin O'Donovan made this point from the floor on Saturday. And it was in relation to the sixth team, and this sixth team issue kept on cropping up.
So again, just because I'm conscious, not unlike the delegates, not everybody listening will have read every aspect of this. So Division 1, there would be, is it eight teams and five in Division? So in Division 1...
Five were going through.
Yeah, eight
so
teams.
Five were going through to playoffs.
Seven matches.
From Division 1.
Yeah.
Three were going through from Division 2. And then the Division 3 and 4 winners were also going through to preliminary quarterfinals. So there was 10 teams from the four divisions scaled 5-3-1-1 going through to All-Ireland playoffs.
So sorry to interrupt. Pick this up then. So the Division 1 concern is we're in Division 1 with eight teams. Only five of us go through. And so three of us are going to be left behind. So that's the concern of Division 1.
The sixth best team did not go forward, whereas ostensibly the 25th best team, if you'd like to call the Division 4 champions that, they were getting into the playoffs. But Kevin O'Donovan made the point that in hurling, and the same Congress body approved the Joe McDonagh Cup winners to get into a preliminary quarter final, yet the fourth team in the Leinster and Munster hurling championships didn't get through. But there's a greater fraternity in hurling than there would be in football. They pull each other up. They like to see teams down below them, you know, perform better and do better. And they were willing to make that concession a few years back when the round robin provincial championships in hurling were introduced, that the Joe McDonagh Cup winners would get into the preliminary quarterfinals in hurling. And that would be at the expense of two more mainstream counties, the fourth in Munster and the fourth in Leinster, whose season ended once the round robin was over.
Yeah. And like to think Division 3 teams, take your team, Mickey, this year, you'd have had to come out of top of Antrim, Fermanagh, Laois, Limerick, Louth, Westmeath and Wicklow just to get into preliminary qualification for the knockout stages. And in the main, it seems like the so-called weaker counties were saying, yeah, we get that. We'll accept that. We have to fight it out and fight it out just to get that one spot. But there's just a degree of self-interest here, which is harming football as a whole, because, Colm, I have to say, and, you know, people will obviously be interested in their own teams, but you just wouldn't look forward to next year's championship with any great sense of excitement. And it's worth reminding people that the Super 8s are gone, so we're kind of back to 2017 level. So what, it's provincials, couple of rounds of qualifiers, and then...
Well, I think there's only two rounds of qualifiers because the Tailteann Cup is coming in for the first time. The schedule hasn't been released. I believe it's been signed off in the next few weeks. But there's two rounds. I think there's two rounds of qualifiers because obviously the Division 3 and 4 teams after the provincial championships are diverting to the Tailteann Cup. Now, the Tailteann Cup, it's his first year. Maybe that provides a vision of some future down the road if Proposal B or some variation of Proposal B fails in the next year or so. Maybe this takes a different course. The Tailteann Cup will probably get both semi-finals will be standalone football fixtures, I believe, in the first weekend of June, and that will obviously give them a window of opportunity around publicity and all of that. They will be the only football show in town that weekend, and I think the final is probably going to be a curtain raiser for an All Ireland hurling semi-final later in the month in June. It won't be side by side with the All-Ireland football final, to the best of my knowledge, but that has to be signed off. That was certainly the plan last December before COVID interrupted the championship and it returned to a straight knockout championship during the summer. The Tailteann Cup would get standalone status for its semi-finals in early June.
Mm. Mickey, we've probably dragged you down with our negativity. Are you still hopeful for change? Final word from you?
I packed it in now. I'm giving up.
We'll turn this into your retirement chat, will we?
I know, like, it's funny too. Like, you know, I'm looking at probably ourselves there when you list out the teams in Division 3, that, and we even looked at it there. If we did get promoted to Division 2, and like being realistically, the following year, if you're in Division 2, you're not going to make that top three teams coming up from Division 3 to make the top three. You're going to play your seven games in Division 2. You're not going to be in the Tailteann Cup. But again, probably that 2 or 3 year cycle that you're talking about, maybe those seven games against those top teams, when you go back down to Division maybe 3, let's say, for example, if you went back down again, that it might help and progress things on. I think what's disappointing is that it's, for the likes of ourselves, it's on a year-to-year basis. It's just, right, we'll pack up and go again and give it a lash. And whereas with a structure like that, you can see 2 and 3 year cycle coming into play. And especially if a new manager comes in, that, you know, you can target those on a 2 or 3 year basis rather than a quick fix to try and get across the line get a run in the qualifiers. And it probably hasn't been enough. But no, look, it's a GA thing that you kind of have to be optimistic and hopeful that change will come. And I think it's up to people to kind of keep demanding and looking for that change for the better, because I think when Colm talked about the hurling there, it's so true, and he's 100% right, that they help each other out and they promote it, because maybe the game of hurling isn't in every county and it's not been, you know, at the same forefront as football in a lot of counties. But you know, it's when it comes to the likes of Longford and Leitrim and your second tier counties, that football's at a stage now that it can go one way or the other, that other sports might start taking over, or, you know, the numbers aren't kind of attending sessions that they used to be. So I think it's important to promote the game. And I thought a change in structure, it mightn't be the main solution to the overall theme of where things are going, but I think in time, if things don't change, it's going to get harder and harder for the Division 3s and 4s to maintain where they're at.
Yeah, I can fully imagine that is the case. Mickey Quinn, current Longford footballer, thanks so much for coming on, Mickey, and giving us your thoughts. And Colm Keyes of the Irish Independent, as ever, Colm, thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Mickey.